You're listening to the Vertical Access Podcast. VA is the college-age community of High Street Baptist Church in Springfield, Missouri. For more information, go to highstreet.org.
We are in a series right now called The Thing You Fear. And basically, we're taking a few weeks and we're walking through the fact that in our life, there are a lot of things that cause fear within us. And if we're not careful, we become trapped in this fear and we become entangled in this fear. And the whole thought behind this message is contained in that one song right there. And the thought that the most powerful and fearful being in all of existence, the greatest and most terrifying force in all of existence, the creator of God, that all that there is, if he is for you and he is committed to your good and he loves you and he is working in your life, what is there to be afraid of in this world? Not only about you, but that pumps me up. That gets me excited. And that's what we're here to celebrate tonight. That's what we're here to talk about tonight. And tonight's one of these messages that it is so universally applicable and relevant, whether you're a Christian, whether you're not a Christian, whether you're pursuing the Lord, or whether you're just trying to get back into church, whether you have any background with Jesus or we have none. This will affect your life. What we're talking about tonight is very real with who you are. And the reality about fear is this. Fear, even though we don't think of being afraid a lot in our lives, fear plays a very real role in our life every day. And fear can trap us. Have you ever been in a situation or a circumstance, maybe a relationship where you just felt trapped? Between a rock and a hard spot. Fear has this incredible way of trapping us. That was an awesome noise. Bloop. And fear does this. So let me give you an example of how fear traps us. Say, I know none of you ever deal with this, and so this won't even apply to any of you, but let's say that there's a person who's afraid to make a decision in life, right? No, it applies to none of y'all whatsoever. So there's a big decision in life, needs to be made, and I'm afraid to make this decision. Why? Well, there's lots of reasons why. If I make the wrong decision, everything could go to crap, and my life would suck forever, right? Number one. Number two is I just don't know what's going to happen. If I knew what was going to happen, I'd be able to be more equipped to make the right decision, but I don't know, and so I'm afraid. So what happens is when we experience fear, we'll be talking about this specifically next week, but when we experience fear, to make a decision, it creates this incredible indecisiveness within us. We're just wishy-washy. We don't know what to do, so we procrastinate. It's like when you get out of the movie theater and you stay in the parking lot for an hour because no one has any idea where to go next. You're like, someone make a decision. Anybody ever been there before? Okay, thank you. Two of you are honest. And so you delay the decision, because fear is just kind of freezing you in your place. And the longer you wait, the worse the situation gets. And the worse it gets, the more you become afraid, because not only now are you scared of the future, you're also scared of the present. There's this vicious cycle where fear to make a decision makes the situation worse, which makes you more afraid, and then less likely to make a decision, and you keep going on and on and on and on like that. And so fear has this incredible way of trapping you. And you know, one of the things that we are trapped in life most with fear is a fear of people. Now, when I say that we are afraid of other people, that doesn't really jump out. You know, if like I'm a guy, I'm a man, right? So when I think of being afraid of a person, I think of a big dude. I think of when I get out of the gas station late at night and I see some guy pull up in a car next to me and he gets out and I think to myself, I could take him. Right? Now, guys, tell me if that's like a regular thought that goes through your mind here tonight. Maybe girls do. Maybe you're like, I could take her. We get in a fight, I'm pulling some hair, right? Like, she doesn't know where I'm from. We get crazy. I could, yeah, right? Like, I'll be losing. Anyways, some of you laugh, but you know what I'm talking about. You've seen it, right? And so, when I think of being afraid of people, I think of like physical danger. Like, that's a big dude. Let's not mess with him or stare at him for too long, right? But the reality is people, other relationships, whoever it is, it could be anybody. It doesn't just have to be a close relationship. It could be anybody. Have this incredible way of causing us to be afraid of them. And that fear looks a lot different in various situations. We're going to talk about that here in a little bit. And when we give into a fear of people, it's incredible how trapped we become. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to students and they felt like they're in a situation that's just a lose-lose. There's no way out. And I'm looking at them like, there is a way out. But there's so much fear of that way out, and there's so much fear of the person that you're in this relationship with that it is trapping you here. And I don't know about y'all, but if you, the longer you get entangled in a mess, the harder and harder and harder it is to get out. It's like that kid who's got his shoes and they're just ridiculously knotted up. And you know, like, we either have two options, just throw the shoes away or take like 10 days to get this thing untangled. And if you've ever had a situation in life where you thought like, I know I could fix this, but it's going to take a lot of hard work and I'm going to have to get my hands dirty and this is not going to be fun. Now, the reality is I know a lot of you tonight are probably in a situation like that right now. You've given into your fears and you just feel trapped. You feel entangled. And things are so messy, and it's so complicated, and it's so tangled that you don't even know where to begin. So tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to begin with this concept of the fear of people. The fear of man is what the Bible calls it. And there's three questions I want to answer tonight. And I hope, my hope is that by answering these three questions from the Bible, because we believe that the Bible is from God, it's His very word given to us to guide us through life, that if we can answer these three questions according to what God says in His word, then maybe, just maybe, we'll start to see where we can climb out of the mess that maybe you're sitting in tonight. And so if you have a Bible with you, turn to Proverbs 29:25. If you don't have a Bible with you, we'll have the verses on the screen. And if you don't own a Bible, or a Bible at least that you've seen in a while, we have some on the Connect Here or Start Here table on the way out. It's our gift to you. Feel free to grab one on the way out. We'd love for you to take that and dive into it. So Proverbs 29:25. So before we read that, let me walk you through kind of the big idea of tonight and the questions we're going to ask. Okay, so here's the big idea. The fear of man traps us, but the fear of God frees us. The fear of man traps us, but the fear of God frees us. And so the questions we're going to ask tonight is this. What does it mean to fear man? What does it mean to be afraid of people? Okay, number two, how do we get trapped by the fear of people? So what does it mean to fear people, and how do we get trapped by the fear of people, the fear of man? And how do we overcome the fear of man? What does it mean? How do we get trapped by it? And how do we overcome it? That's what we're going to look at. So turn to 29:25. Let's read it. It says this. The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. So let's answer this first question. What does it mean to fear people? I already talked about earlier how, like, you could physically be in danger of people, and I'm afraid of the physical pain that person can place on me. But I think there's something that's a lot more applicable to your life and relevant than, like, actual physical fear of my physical safety. In fact, I was thinking about this, and I was wrestling with it. Last Friday, I was just walking around. What does it mean to be afraid of people, the fear of man? So I asked myself, okay, we've talked about the fear of God. What does the fear of God mean? So if you haven't been here the last couple of weeks, let me kind of clue you into what we've talked about the last 2 or 3 weeks, okay? The Bible has this mega theme called the fear of God. And throughout the Bible it says, do not be afraid, but be afraid of God. Don't fear stuff in your life. The only thing you should fear is your Creator God. And so we said it's more than just a respect and an awe, like you respect your professor, but you don't fear your professor. It's this understanding that God is the Creator, He holds my life in His hands, and ultimately I will give an account of my life to Him. Therefore, I should fear. And when I submit myself to Him and I say, because you are fearful, and I lay myself down before Him and I say, what you want, I want, there's this incredible thing that takes place where if I lay myself down underneath Him, I find that all of that fearful power, like we talked about earlier, and force and energy is committed to my joy and my good and my well-being. That for all those reasons that we have to be afraid, we find that all of those reasons are for our good. The Bible says that He who spared not His own Son, He who gave His own Son for us, He will give us everything else we need in this life. And so, the fear of God produces in the peace of God. When I submit myself to my Creator and I lay myself down, I find greater peace, greater joy, and greater comfort than I could ever find anywhere else. And so let's break this down, okay? Because I'm asking the question, what does it mean to fear people? Let's see, because it's similar to the fear of God, but it has a different result. So the fear of God is three things, okay? It's recognizing His glory. And His glory being who He is, His power, His awe, His majesty, His beauty, His wisdom. It's recognizing who He is. It's submitting to His glory, submitting to His power, saying, what you want is what I want. I'm not calling you to change. I'm changing my life. So it's recognizing His glory, submitting to His glory, and then enjoying His glory. So it's recognizing, submitting, and enjoying. And it's those three things over and over and over again. That's what it looks like to be a Christian in every aspect of your life. So I said the fear of man is similar to that, but has a different result. So if fearing God is recognizing his glory, then fearing man is when I recognize the glory of a person. Now that sounds stupid, right? Like we don't talk in language like that. I didn't see Sarah the first time and thought, look at this glorious woman walking upon me in this hallway of temple on Missouri State campus, right? Like I didn't say that. I said, man, that's a hot chick right there. I need to go talk to her, right? Like, and so the fear of God, I didn't say that out loud, it was in my head, but I said it. The fear of God is recognizing his glory. Now, the fear of man is similar to that, but a little different, in that we recognize the incredible nature of a person. We're in awe of who they are. So when I recognize God's glory, similarly, when I recognize a person's glory, what I do is I become entranced with them. I'm in awe of their beauty, of their intelligence, their success, their wealth, their popularity, their everything, their charisma, their personality, what they give me. When I see that person, I'm in awe of the fact that I could see my life with them in the future, or that they could give me a secure future, or we could have a family together. And I am just brought into this, almost like I'm in a trance or in a vision, or I'm just caught up in how beautiful and incredible this person is. I'm in awe of them. Now, the Bible uses the word fear, but another way of understanding fear is to be in awe of. And so the fear of man begins with being in awe of a person, being caught up in who they are, in whatever that may look like. Like I said, beauty, success, wealth, fame, whatever it may be. And so just like when we fear God, we can choose to reject him or submit to him. When we fear a person, when we're in awe of a person, we then adapt our behavior to that person. So when I see Sarah and I see that, man, look at this glorious woman coming across my way, I say, I need to shave and look like a decent human being so she will like me, right? Like, I immediately start adapting my behavior in order to get something from her, like a date, okay? Or whatever that may be. And so we change our behavior. So as we submit to God, we also submit to humans. We change our behavior. We adapt to either impress them or gain their favor or get what they have. So if someone's rich and you're in awe of their wealth, I am going to adapt myself to impress you, hoping that I will get some kind of crumbs or handouts or be written into your will or whatever that may be. And so it's being in awe of someone, and then it's adapting your behavior to get something from them or to gain their favor or for just them to have them accept you. Like, you are the most incredible person I've ever known. If I knew that you loved me or you liked me or you accepted me, I would be okay in life. And so we adapt our behavior to gain those things. But here's where it gets different. Okay, the difference is that the result they achieve. When you fear God, you recognize his glory, you submit to his control, you get to enjoy God. He is committed to your good and committed to your welfare. But when you fear man and you're in awe of man and you adapt your behavior to impress them, what we find in this verse is that there's nothing but a trap that awaits us. 29:25 says, the fear of man lays a snare. A snare is a trap that you lay out in hunting. So what it's saying is this: every time I am consumed with my awe of someone, every time I give myself to delighting in a person more than I delight in God, being afraid of a person more than I fear God, I am in effect laying a trap in my future. Maybe my immediate future, maybe my long-term future, but eventually I will step into that trap and I will get caught and I will get entangled into a mess. And so instead of finding someone who's committed to my good and committed to my joy, I find someone who's committed to their own good and their own joy. And over time, this is a vicious cycle of I change to impress you, but it's never good enough. And your selfish desires placed on me make it more and more. And so I try harder and harder, but I never satisfy you. And it's this vicious cycle of trying more, being afraid more, but never impressing, never earning their acceptance, never earning their favor. And you get entangled in this mess. So how does this work? Why is this true? Why is it that when I fear man, I lay a snare? Because fundamentally this is the reason why. There's never a person that makes a good God. When you fear a person, what you do, in effect, is you make them a little g God. You are saying, right now, I am so in awe of you, you're becoming my functional God. I ought to be fearing God and submitting to him and enjoying him, but right now I am so amazed by who you are that I am creating you as my God, turning you into my God, and I'm submitting myself to you. But the problem is, we are terrible gods. You've never met a person who's not a terrible God. Because we're all inherently selfish and innately selfish people, we place these terrible desires onto the people who are in awe of us and who are serving and looking to us as God. And we entrap them within our will. And so the fear of man lays a snare, lays a trap, because when I give myself to this person more than I give myself to God, their desires are never ultimately for my good and my welfare, but for their own good and their own welfare. And it leads to incredibly destructive behavior. Incredibly destructive behavior. So let's recap, because we've got to be really clear about this before we move to the next section, okay? The fear of man lays a snare. When I fear God, I recognize his glory, I submit to his control, and I get to enjoy him in all of my life. When I fear a person, I'm in awe of who they are. I adapt my behavior to impress them or gain something from them, and I find nothing but destructive behavior, a trap, and frustration. Very similar, two different results. So here's the question, right? If the fear of man lays a snare, what does that look like practically in your life? What do those traps look like? I think if we can take a moment and evaluate in our own lives some universal traps that we all get caught in, it could be incredibly beneficial for where we're at tonight. And so I came up with five specific traps that we all get caught in when we fear people. Okay, the number one is this. The first trap we get caught in is lying or misrepresenting the truth. Lying or misrepresenting the truth. Have you ever met someone or talked to someone or heard someone say, man, I got married and 5 years later I feel like my wife's a totally different person, or my husband's a totally different person. I feel like I almost got lied to because this person changed. That person didn't change. You were dating, you were on your best behavior, what'd you expect, right? Like, you were putting your best foot forward because you wanted them to like you and be impressed with you. Of course you didn't tell them about your $10,000 of debt because you have a gambling addiction and all this other crazy stuff, because you wanted them to marry you and spend the rest of your life with you. See, the fear of man causes us and leads us to lie and misrepresent the truth. Let me put it this another way. Have you ever fudged a paper a little bit? Some call it plagiarizing, other people call it just stretching the truth a little bit, you know, or gaining good tips. Or have there ever been a time you went to a professor and you said, hey, I didn't get this assignment done. Can you give me a few extra days to get it done? They're like, yeah, sure. What happened? What was going on? Oh, crap. Let me come up with something really good really quick. Right? I know that's never been any of y'all, because it was never me. I never did that when I was in college. Stretch the truth a little bit to get a professor to show me a little mercy. What's going on in that moment is I'm saying, hey, I recognize the professor's authority over me. And I'm afraid of the consequences that they could lay down on my life because I didn't get this assignment done and this paper done the right way. And because I'm afraid of what they could do in my life, and I want to earn their favor, I am going to now adapt my behavior. I'm going to begin to lie. I'm going to begin to misrepresent the truth in order to gain what they want. But the problem is it never works. It's a trap, because then it just creates a cycle of behavior that happens over and over and over again. So the fear of man leads us to lie. What about this? Have any of you ever not been honest and open with someone else about your spiritual walk? You know, one of the areas I find that we fear God, or we fear men the most, is when we're sitting down at a table with someone, maybe a close friend, and they ask you a very specific question. They say, how is your spiritual life going? What have you been reading lately? How's your prayer life? What are you struggling with? And we dismiss it, we neglect it, we walk around it, we give shallow answers. We say whatever we got to do to get around, because what's going on in that moment is, if I really tell you the truth, I'm afraid that you're going to respond weird or that you're not going to like what I have to say. And so the fear of man leads me to destructive behavior, because I am in awe of you. I want you to be my friend. I want you to accept me and to love me. And if I tell you what I'm really struggling with, and if I really tell you what happened last night, this might get weird, this might change. So I'm going to adapt my behavior. I'm not going to tell you the full truth. I may not write out lie, but I'm just going to misrepresent the full truth in hopes that I can still gain our friendship. And it's this vicious cycle of destructive behavior that goes on and on and on and on. So the fear of man, number one, leads us to lie and misrepresent the truth. Number two, the fear of man leads us to incredibly unhealthy relationships. Wow, I could talk about this one for a whole week. The fear of man leads us to incredibly unhealthy relationships. All right, let's start with the issue of pornography, okay? What's going on with pornography, right? I don't think anyone who's ever thought to themselves, you know what, I'm glad for the last year I viewed pornography for like 5 to 10 hours a week, and I think that's really made me a better human being. No one's ever said that. No one's claiming that. People try to justify it. They try to make it act like it's a harmless offense. It's in my private. It's not affecting you or anybody else. We're all okay. But we all know at the end of the day that it's incredibly destructive. What's going on when we become addicted to pornography, whether you're a girl, a man, or a woman, is this. I am in awe of that person's beauty. I fear that person because their beauty has captivated me. And little by little, the beauty captivates me more and more and more, where I now adapt my behavior to get more of that beauty, and it entrenches itself into my soul where I can't operate almost without it. And that my whole understanding of what beauty looks like in this world is defined by these fake images of romance. It's the fear of man. It's being in awe and captivated by their beauty. There's also unhealthy relationships where it's built on a person's desire to feel secure. Maybe someone comes from a background where there wasn't a lot of stability, not a lot of security. And when they look at a person, they're in awe of the fact that I think that person can make my life more secure. That person can make my life more stable. And so whatever they want, I'm going to give them. I'm going to look to them as I'm going to turn them into my God who's going to deliver my heaven of security and stability finally in my life. And even if they ask me to do things that I never would have done beforehand, I'm going to do it because I believe that God can deliver. And so you start making decisions that you never would have. You start going farther physically and sexually than you never would have. And before you know it, your heart becomes hard to the reality that they're a terrible God and they're not leading you and loving you and treating you the right way, but because you're so entangled, you don't know where to go. And it all began with the fear of that person. I'm in awe of the security that you can deliver. This also goes along with the idea of feeling I'm afraid to be alone in life. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've looked at a relationship and I've said, why is that woman still with that man? He's terrible to her. He's emotionally abusive. Maybe he's even physically abusive. Why does she not leave him? And the reality is that she's so afraid of being alone that she has learned to become content with and manage the hell with him in order to gain the heaven of not being alone. Because a hell with him is better than a heaven with him, which is hell, is better than hell being alone by herself later on. And so she's in awe of his presence and having someone in her life. And so she adapts her behavior where she puts up with all of his crap. She never tells him no. And she puts up with all of his junk just so she can have someone, because being alone is far worse than being in a terrible relationship with him. And it's the fear of man. It's afraid of being alone. It's being in awe of what that person gives me. And it leads to incredibly destructive and unhealthy behavior. You know, I want you to know that this isn't just something that you all struggle with. I mean, I've lived this out. Maybe this will relate to you. When I was in high school, I remember this girl I started dating for all the wrong reasons. It's a 16-year-old guy. Like, if I was that girl's dad, I would have punched me in the throat, right? Like, away, go. But I didn't get punched in the throat, which I should have been, but I didn't. And so we started dating, but this girl was a Christian. She invited me to church, and through this crazy, like, we were all a bunch of just bad people, but God somehow used it for his glory and used it to save me and make me new and give me a new life. And I turned from sin. I started following Jesus, and then he kind of redeemed the whole thing. But over time, our relationship got to a very unhealthy place. But by that point, our lives had become so intertwined, and the church we went to had like 20 people. Literally 20 people. And so if we broke up, it'd be like me and 10 people and you and 10 people. And that's just weird, right? Like, you can't have a potluck without sitting at the same table. So you can't go away. Some of you have been, I can't break up with them because they're in the same room of like 800 people. It'd be tough. No, right? Like, anyways, moving on. But like, and I was afraid of what would happen if we broke up. But I knew it was a terrible, unhealthy relationship and it needed to end. So I put the breakup off, and I put it off, and I put it off. And can I tell you, from the time that I knew I should have broken up with that person to the time we actually broke up, there is so much that I regret in that window. So much that I regret. So much destructive behavior that I could have released, that I could have been spared from. But because the fear of man, I laid a snare for myself, and I got caught in it. The fear of man leads to unhealthy relationships. But let's move on. Number one, the fear of man leads us to misrepresent the truth and lie. Number two, the fear of man leads us to unhealthy relationships. But three, it causes us to go dark as Christians. What do I mean by going dark as a Christian? You know, when you're, if you ever watch like a military movie, or if you ever watch documentaries like I do, like a nerddom on Netflix, I just finished Ken Burns' World War II documentary. It was awesome, all right? Ken Burns is my homeboy. He's awesome. And Some of y'all have no idea what I'm talking about. It's okay. Just go Netflix Ken Burns later. You'll be better for it. And they'll make the comment like this, or maybe in the movie they say, okay, let's go dark. We don't want to be on the radar. Or let's go off the grid. We're getting disconnected. We want to go dark so that no one can know where we're at, what we're doing. And the fear of man leads us as Christians to go dark. So what that means is we love Jesus privately, but in life, no one can tell because I have shut it off from everybody else. I've gone dark as a Christian when my faith is only a private thing, and any time I ever have to make it public, I shy away because of my fear of people. What that means, what that looks like is this. I want to be accepted by people and liked by people so much that if anyone ever presses me on my faith, or if there's ever an opportunity for me to speak up about my faith, I choose not to. I adapt my behavior hoping that you'll still like me, because I'm afraid that if I ever actually tell you what I really do believe, that Jesus is alive and that the Bible is true, that you're going to think I'm nuts. You're not just going to say, well, that's great, that's your belief, but you're going to think, you intolerant bigot. How dare you think the Bible is true? Don't you know what it says? And my fear causes me to cower away and lead to this destructive, not God-honoring behavior that causes me to go dark as a Christian. Can I tell? I've been there too. I've been at that time at Christmas where my stepmom asked me, so Brian, so tell me kind of what, you know, and we start a spiritual conversation, a gospel conversation. And before I know it, I start talking to her. You know, I just believe that all of us are not good people, that we were born into this world, broken people. Brian, wait. You're not telling me you believe in that original sin nonsense, do you? But like, I know what that feels like to be in that moment where you're just, you are the dumbest person in the room for believing what you believe. You're ridiculed for your faith. And can I tell you, it's a trap. It's a vicious, never-ending trap. The fear of man causes us to go dark as Christians. So third, we go dark. Number four, though, it just gets worse, is that the fear of man causes us to be self-centered. And we'll finish on this one. Number five, I'll save for Sunday morning, but the fear of man causes us to be incredibly self-centered. What do I mean by that? When I'm in awe of what everybody thinks around me, when I'm constantly having to impress and improve and earn the favor of everyone around me, it causes me to be so focused on myself that I forget about anything else. And so in a conversation, I'm always wondering how that relates back to me. I'm always trying to impress people with stats. I'm always one-upping a story. Everything someone says comes back to me because I'm trying to find a way to fit in something that can make them like me or impress them some more. Right? When I fear people and I've got this burden on me, a feeling like I've always got to impress everybody, I'm always consumed with self. You know, some of us think it just takes me 8 hours to get ready in the morning. No, it doesn't, right? It shouldn't take any human being that long to get ready. The problem is we are so afraid of what people think of us, it causes us to adapt our behavior where we take hours and hours and spend countless amounts of money on our image. When we become so consumed with our image that we are spending hundreds of dollars a month on it, and we are spending countless hours a week on it, it's a problem. It's a destructive behavior. What's happening is I'm afraid of that person. I want them to like me. I want other people to like me. So I've got to make sure when I walk out of this house that I look completely perfect, that I've done everything I possibly can to make myself look better. See, the fear of man leads us to be so self-consumed. Everything is a competition. Everything is a race. I've got to be first everywhere. I've got to be the best at everything. And it's a snare every single time. And I could go on with thousands of other illustrations. But ask yourself, what areas of my life do I feel trapped in? And maybe, just maybe, is it the fear of man that's led me to that trap? What areas of my life do I feel trapped in? So number one, we asked, what does it mean to be afraid of people? Number two, how do we get trapped by the fear of people? But then number three, and most importantly, how do we overcome the fear of people? Because up until now, this has been a real bummer message, right? Like, how do you overcome the fear of people? Okay, Brian, you've told me all the bad stuff. You've beat me up a little bit. Now let's talk about how we process through this and how we work through it. Okay, there's this incredible passage in the Bible from Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51, 7 through 8. And Isaiah talks a lot about fear because he lived in a time that people should have been rightly afraid. His nation of Israel was being attacked and conquered by Babylon. And so there was fear from without, there's fear from within, and there was a lot of reasons to be afraid. And so throughout his prophecies and throughout his book, he writes a lot about fear. And he says this in chapter 51, verse 7. Listen to me, you who know righteousness. He says, God's people, listen up. Open your ears. Don't miss this. The people in whose heart is my law. Here's the key. Fear not the reproach of man, nor be dismayed at their reviling. So there's that most repeated command in the Bible. We see it again. Fear not when people mock you, when they revile you, when they threaten you. Do not be afraid of them. Okay, why not, Isaiah? That's a natural question. Why shouldn't we be afraid of that guy who's 6'5 and 300 pounds? He could crush me. It says verse 8, for the moth will eat them up like a garment, and the worm will eat them up like wool. So we don't talk like this very often. What's he trying to say, right? He's saying eventually that person that you're scared of is going to die, and as they die, their body will decompose, and they will just become worm food. So that person you're so afraid of, that person you're in awe of their beauty, that person that you think is going to guarantee you security or is going to guarantee you notoriety or wealth or whatever it may be, one day they're going to die just like you, and they will prove to you that they are not all that they are cracked up to be. You know what he says in verse 8? He says, there's no such thing as a person who makes a good God. We said earlier that when you fear people, you turn them into your own personal God. He says, all of us die, therefore all of us make terrible gods. The moth will eat them up. The worm will eat them up. One day, they will all be gone. Why should we not fear people? Because they make terrible gods. So then Isaiah now tells us how to break free from that. And he says this, but my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. That person you turn into God will die, and they will cease to exist. But the God who created you and gives you salvation and knows you, he will live forever. He is everlasting. And if you put your hope, your faith, and your trust in him, and you take his righteousness over their gifts, he will never put you to shame. So you see what he's doing here? He's saying, don't think less about what people have to say. Just care more about what God says about you than what everybody else says about you. Because here's what we typically hear. Hey, you're afraid? Be brave. Take courage. No, that doesn't work. It says, hey, you're worried about what people think? Who cares what they think? Don't even think about them. And that might work for like a few minutes, but then 5 minutes later, we're right back in our fear. Have you ever had someone like pump you up like, hey, I know you got broken up with for like the 11th time this month, but you just have such a good personality. And man, some woman's going to be so happy to have you as a husband someday. And like, I know you're afraid. And I know you feel terrible. But like, and that, you know, that encourages you for a little bit. But then like 30 minutes later, you're like, man, I've been broken up with the 11th time this month, right? It sucks. Still, it sucks, right? Isaiah doesn't say, hey, buck up. Be strong. Make it work. Have courage. Be a big boy, right? Like, punch somebody. No, he doesn't say that. He says, no. It's not that you don't care about what someone says. That's just called being a jerk. It's that you care more about what God says about you than what people say about you. It's that you fear God so much that you no longer are afraid of anybody. It says, in that moment when you are drawn into that awe of who this person is, or you're afraid of who they are, in that moment of decision, in that moment of temptation, you say, no. Instead of being consumed by an awe of you or a fear of you, instead of leading to destructive behavior and laying a snare, a trap for me, right now I'm going to choose to fear God more than I fear you. Because he is the one ultimately who is everlasting, who is in control, who is the giver of life and death. Him will I fear. And when we fear God more than when we fear people, we find joy and peace and wisdom and grace, not destruction in a snare. See, the whole idea of this series is not be brave, it's no, have the right fear. It's not fear less, it's fear more of the right one. Because the more you fear God, the more you find that he is committed to your good. And so, stopping looking at pornography is not about, I'm just going to try hard to stop. I'm going to put some scriptures on my computer screen, put a picture of Jesus on the wall. I'm going to wear like a cross around my neck. And if I do those things and I always have these reminders of who I am, then I won't look at porn anymore. No, you just feel worse when you do. It's being more captivated by the beauty of God than you are by the beauty of that person. That's a totally different way of looking at things. It's being so consumed with how beautiful and majestic your Creator is that the beauty of this person is just like a shadow compared to the actual image himself. Right? Like, God is far more beautiful. God is far more satisfying. God is far more lovely. I delight in him so much more than I ever begin to delight in you. Overcoming your fear in an unhealthy relationship is about this. Yes, being alone for the rest of my life is scary, but you know what? Being alone with Jesus is far better than being with you who are a terrible girlfriend or boyfriend. And so I reject you and I choose Jesus. I fear him more than I fear you. I am in awe of what he has to give more than I am in awe of what you have to give. Overcoming a fear that leads you to lie and misrepresent the truth is about understanding that one day I'm going to have to give an account to God for the integrity that I live my life with. And so instead of being afraid of you who can just give me an A, I'm going to be afraid of him. I'm going to tell you the truth and take the B. You know, when you fear God more than you fear people, it makes you incredibly bold and incredibly humble. Because you realize, I had nothing to earn his favor. He chose me. He loved me. His son died for me. But the most powerful being in all of existence is on my side and committed to my good. So who cares if you mock me? Who cares if you revile me? Who cares if you think I'm stupid? Because I know who I am and I know who my God is. And I'm going to serve him and not you. It's not caring less about what people think. It's caring more about what God has to say. It's about understanding that God cares about me so much that he sent his very son to die in my place. His son took the punishment that I deserve for my sins, and then he overcame that, came back to life 3 days later, now offers me new life. I'm going to choose to fear that one, the one who was dead and is now back alive, instead of you who is just going to die one day. Do you see how the fear of people, the fear of man, can just destroy a life? And entangle a life and get a life incredibly messy? And do you see how the fear of God can break you free from that? It's not about trying harder. It's about fearing the right one more. So think about it. In your life, what traps are you in right now? How has the fear of man led you to be ensnared to somebody and leading you into destructive behavior? And how is the fear of God going to free you from that? What do you need to do to delight in God more, to be more in awe of his beauty, his protection, his provision, to be more in awe of the Creator God than in awe of that person? Let me pray for you, okay, Father.
Thanks for listening to the Vertical Access Podcast. If you'd like to know more about VA, check out highstreet.org.